Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show from the actual studio.
From the studio.
This is unbelievable. It has been a while. I have to tell you, I have felt so great the last 2 days, and I think it's because I have been freed from jail. So I feel like this is a PSA. If you're thinking about doing anything partially illegal or something that might land you in jail, take it from somebody who's been in quarantine, just locked in my house for a month. It's not a good plan. Think again. There's another way. There is another way. So, it's so great to be in the studio tonight. It's good to see that we're all working from the same particular room. We got Dustin and the boss man.
Yeah.
Country over here. We got him in the booth. So we're all, the gang is back together again, so to speak.
The band is back together.
The band is back together. So we got a great show for you guys tonight. Of course, Happy New Year to everybody. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year and just, you know, happy holidays, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and the whole shebang. And we're ready to roll into 21 in a brand new way and bring you lots of fun and exciting things. I know there's a big tournament that's on the rise, the Winter Open that's coming up here towards mid to end January 21st starts.
Yep, 21st through 31st.
Yep, 21st to 31st. So mid to end of January. So that's exciting. That's a long tournament series for you guys. It's really kind of the first one that's been quite this lengthy.
It's the first series we have ran since last January.
Which is pretty remarkable.
The last series we ran was the Winter Series in 2020.
So this is exciting. People
are
excited. I know everybody's looking forward to it. You guys have done a really wonderful job about making sure that the card room is clean and following all the CDC guidelines and temperature checks at the door and making sure that people, masks are required, of course. You have a separate entrance from exit and you do all of the things necessary, cleaning everything constantly around the clock. I know you're sanitizing cards and chips and everything that you can do as far as what you can control in your room to make it a safe environment for everyone. So
we even have an easy bake oven, we call it, which is a UV box that we place all the cards in as they come off the table. And we spread them out and they has a timer and it sits under the UV light, which apparently kills everything.
So it's not a tanning bed, ladies, so stay away from there.
Right. Don't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at it, but it's great. And so for people who, are hearing about the series, and I know that your marketing campaign has really kicked up and a lot of people have mentioned they've heard, spots on the radio or seen spots on television or listened to us just broadcast on air. And there's a lot of information that's going out right now. So, yeah, it's going to be the first series. It's going to be a great series. The price point is fantastic, and we'll continue to talk about it throughout the show. But yeah, so what a great way to break in the new year. Speaking of series, people representing poker and whatnot, Poker Stars that we know, their number one ambassador was Chris Moneymaker, and they just announced that they will be cutting ties with him this year. So they are now separating from Chris Moneymaker as being an ambassador. He seemed to be okay with it. Everybody had, for the most part, you always have a few trolls in there, but for the most part, everybody seemed happy about it.
I wonder why. Did he decide to move on? Did they decide they didn't need him anymore? Or it was just.
I think it was just one of those things that it was just time, right? Like, I don't know that we'll ever really know
too much
the
money
answer,
and they're bringing in other people less money.
It was an amicable split, as we will say.
Seems like it,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like everybody was happy. All right, so some other things that were happening. Check this out. And Jesse, I know we know Mark Gregorich, but we have two boys. So David Baker and Mark Gregorich, who were two poker pros who won $785,000 in sports betting contests.
Yeah, one of the I think it's at the Westgate.
Yes, exactly.
Super
at the Westgate.
Contest.
Yep. So I don't really understand what that is. Talk about what that is.
Every year during the NFL season, there are lots of what they call super contests for a handicapping contest that go for the entire length of the season, all 17 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all a little bit different. In this one, you had to, I think you had to pick five games against the spread every week.
Okay.
And whoever has the best record at the end of the 17 weeks wins the contest. And they're almost all winner-take-all. They're big-money contests. I don't know how much this one costs to get in, but they also did very well. They were in multiple contests. The Westgate one where they won almost $500,000.
Yeah, $435,000.
And another one somewhere else where they also won a little bit.
Yeah, for like another $200,000. They won $10,000 in another spot. But, collectively, it's unbelievable.
It's
they won
huge.
$100,000 in another spot for just being at the top of the leaderboard. There's all of these things. So, like, they win, but then based on the points, I guess, they're winning additional money because they're placing out other, right, like, bonus prizes, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, it's basically...
Like leaderboard prizes,
yeah,
right? So they win, but then they also win an extra thing because they knocked out the other person who was at the top of the leaderboard.
Sure, and some of them are winner-take-all, and some of them have a pay scale, just like a poker tournament. And, you know, first place pays X, and sometimes there's weekly bonuses also. And some of them are, you know, you pick every game, not against the spread. Some of them are survivor contests where you can only pick one team once. For the whole year.
So here's who they picked. So Baker and Gregorich picked the Dallas Cowboys minus 1.5, the Steelers at 9, the Panthers at 6.5, the Ravens at minus 12.5, and Washington football team at minus 2.5, and then the Packers were at minus 5.5, Panthers at 6.5, New York Jets at 3, Detroit Lions at plus 6.5, and the Cardinals at minus 2.5. So these are like all the different people.
But that I don't. Was that just week 17?
Yeah, I think so. This was just their final week. Those were their final picks.
So I do have some interesting information on
the final week yesterday.
On one of their final games, and I don't know if it was the same contest or a different contest, but they would have won another $1 million. Seattle was beating San Francisco. And San Francisco came down and scored a meaningless touchdown towards the end of the game. They couldn't even win the game, but they scored a meaningless touchdown to cover the spread. Had that not happened, they would have won another $1 million in one of the contests.
Yeah, that's what it says. Circus contest was a $1,000 buy-in with a $1 million guaranteed first place prize, and what ended up being a field of 3,100 people. The pair was in the lead for the seven-figure scoring heading into week 17, but they fell just shy of that ultimate goal due to the exactly what you're talking about.
And here's another thing that's cool about these guys is they didn't, you know, a lot of people join these super contests and they get spreadsheets and computers and you know, calculators and do all these computations and run, basically like doing a solver for a poker hand, right? And try to pick the teams that way. All these guys did, I think there was three of them. There was a third, and I don't know who that was. But they would just get together once a week, go over the games, have some coffee, and make their picks. Just like
I mean, that sounds a good way to make almost $1 million, $750,000. I mean, like.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
I feel like that's okay. Like, Country, I feel like you'd do that, right? You'd show up, have some coffee, hang out with your people. Dustin, you'd do that, hang out with your people, drink some coffee, maybe even a beer. Heck. You could throw a beer in there. That'd be fine.
Sure.
Make your picks and pick up $750,000.
I do know this, that playing those yearly contests and weekly contests is a blast. And when I lived in Vegas, I would enter a couple contests every year. The stations had a good contest. And we lived by Red Rock. So just once a week, go to Red Rock, put in my picks for the contest. And they were cheap. You know, like $20, and you could buy five tickets. So it's $100, and you get a year's worth of entertainment.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, and then one of our final pieces of news. Obviously, there's lots surrounding the World Series of Poker, and we'll come back to talk about that. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions and all of those things when we come back. But one of the things that was announced is, as we all know, and we've been following the Negreanu and Polk heads-up match. So Daniel Negreanu and Doug Polk have been playing heads-up. And they got to their halfway point just before Christmas. So they hit the 12,500 hands. And Negreanu was down like $770,000-ish. And their original bet stated that at the halfway point, whoever was losing had the opportunity to opt out of the remainder of the bet and not continue playing anymore. And he announced New Year's Day, Negreanu announced New Year's Day that he would continue to fight and continue to play. So that means, obviously, we'll have to continue to read and keep up on Twitter with the battle, the Polk and Negreanu battle.
And it's I would say,
I feel like everybody's going to be so happy when this is over. It's almost like it's like reading tweets about the election.
I'm totally over it.
That's what I'm saying. It's right. like the election. It's like,
yeah.
it's never ending.
Yeah, it's over, people. Yeah.
It's like, we're it's done. Over. We're good.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the fight.
I agree with that. But, you know, good for him for not quitting. That would I would have been, even though we're over it, you know, you can't just quit halfway sure. through just because you're stuck. That would be horrible. And good for Doug because he'll probably make another million.
The part that we're over is just the constant barrage of tweeting and the information and people being involved and the constant, like, just reading all of the stuff. For me, that's sure. what it's like, right? Like, you guys want to play, I mean, like, it's fine. It, like, just get it over
with.
It's
not watchable, really.
Let's do it. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, that's kind of my point terrible. With it, too. I feel like we just as poker people just totally botched the whole thing. You know, this is like, this
it's
is a big
fun.
Deal in poker. And like Jesse said, it's almost unwatchable.
Yeah.
Can't keep up
completely.
With it.
Completely. Right. It's terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but don't forget the 1010XL main event is next week, which means we have a seat to give away to you guys tonight at some point on the air that is a $110 seat that we will give to one of our listeners. Plus, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions and what's happening with the World Series of Poker. We do have a champion, an international and a domestic. What is their next feat? Do they play again? Do they fight? Is there a heads-up battle?
They played the heads-up.
They did.
They did.
And we're going to talk about who won that.
Yes, we
stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss. Dustin working the stream and Country, of course, helping us out with the production. I'm so happy to know that as I was chatting us off to break there, you were paying attention, boss man. So.
Always paying attention.
I don't know about that, but this time you definitely were. All right. So real quick, you know, the World Series of Poker was an interesting one at that this year. So they had their limited series that kind of happened in the summer and it was all online. And then they had their $10,000 main event, which they had an international series and a domestic series. They had a winner from international, a winner from domestic, and those two met together and played the heads-up battle for the additional $1 million prize pool and the coveted bracelet. And
the hardware.
Right, and that happened on, was it December 3rd? Was it Sunday or?
It was the
Sunday
3rd,
night or
correct.
Saturday night, whatever it was, night it was this past weekend.
It was January 3rd. It was supposed to be December 28th, I believe, and they pushed it out to January 3rd. Which is funny because everybody was joking on social media about reminding them that it's 2021. No, World Series Poker.
I know, which is kind of weird, right?
It's
so, like,
weird.
Did you win it in 2020 or 21? Because the tournament, like, theoretically, based on the way the tournament is, it's a 2020 title because you started
it's a
the
2020
series
title.
In 2020.
Right.
And while you didn't finish it until 2021, the series was a 2020 series.
I do know a lot of people that had, or a few people that had bets on will there be a World Series of Poker in 2020 or not. So did they win or did they lose?
That's a really great question. I mean, I think that they lost. I think it's a 2020 bracelet. But anyway, Damian Salas, congratulations. Argentinian man. Emerged victoriously and now holds the new title for the 2020 WSOP main event.
He made the final
greatest player in the world.
He made the final table 3 years ago in 2017, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, good job.
Yeah. So that's a fun story and it's great. And I know that, boss, you said WSOP has already announced that they have another series.
They announced an online circuit, 2021 WSOP online circuit events with rings and a shot at a bracelet. It's up on their website now, January 14th through 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is online and you have to be in one of the states where it's legal,
which is
Nevada and New Jersey. And that's it.
Making it tough.
But, you know, whatever. We're bringing poker back to the live arena.
We're bringing poker back. And not only that, you know, everybody gets all wrapped up. And as the new year jumps in, people get excited about New Year's resolutions. And I always think that this is kind of a fun thing to talk about. And people make resolutions, whether it's pertaining to just their life as a whole. Some people make them about their job. Some other people make them about things like poker, right? And whether that's your job or a recreational choice that you make. It just, you know, might depend on your discipline or how you want to spend your time or the stakes that you're going to play. And so generally, New Year's resolutions surrounding poker are about just that. And I think that this year it's particularly interesting looking at people's resolutions because the dynamic of poker this year has changed. It has done a 180 from what it was last January at New Year's. When you were looking at full schedules of tournaments and people's New Year's resolutions looked more like, I'm not going to travel as much, or I'm only going to pick specific ones so I'm not burnt out on traveling or doing X, Y, and Z, right? Where this year's resolutions are more like, I'm going to try to get to one single event, or I'm going to I'm going to make one event, or instead of like leveling up, I'm going to drop down in stakes because I'm playing online, blowing my bankroll, right? So I feel like it's a little bit different and kind of interesting. So, you know, we sent out a tweet and asked, and Phil Galfond actually did the same thing, which I thought was interesting. And he said he wanted to hear what people's New Year's resolutions were, specifically pertaining to poker, obviously. So, Dustin, do you have any, because I know you're not only, you know, do you work in the industry, but you're a player as well. Do you have any poker resolutions? Have you thought about it?
No, I've thought about personal resolutions, but poker resolutions, not so much. Really, it's kind of like you said, it's really just trying to find the means to play, you know? Maybe like play one live tournament this year. Like that might be
my resolution is to play one live tournament poker.
My resolution is to, wait for it, play.
Right, yeah.
Well, so the Hopped Cyclist says, do what you do and win it. I thought that was going to, his Twitter handle is the Hopped Cyclist.
Do what you do and win it?
Do what you do and win it. And that's kind of like, just do what you need to do, win the tournament. And I like that. It's just sort of like, go in and let's make it happen, right? Other people say travel for the tournament. Other people say, somebody said, win a 1010XL poker tournament or win a seat and then dominate on three. I thought that was funny. So, some other things people have said, Joey Ingram posted one. He said he wants to have a $1 million profit playing in private games.
Wow.
Which is kind of an interesting thing.
In private games or in cash games?
In private games, really? Specifically.
Well, who doesn't?
Right. I feel like
count
like,
me
like,
in. Yeah, that's, nice like, one, that's, Joey.
Yeah. Like,
who doesn't? Yeah. What do you want? I want to win $1 million playing in
I feel like
games,
that came out of like a fortune cookie. Like he just, yeah. I feel like he didn't write that. Literally came out of a fortune.
It's very specific.
Yeah. I know, right? Somebody, Mike McDonald said, stare at more people this year. I thought that was funny. Because it is kind of interesting to think about, like, do you find yourselves, I find myself it's difficult for me sometimes to make eye contact with people now that we are wearing masks. I don't know why, but I find it, like, I find that, and I think it's because I can't see your mouth moving when you talk. So for me, I'm like thinking about listening to what you're saying, like through the muffled mask. So I feel like I look over people's shoulders, which is weird. So when I read that tweet, I was like, I could totally relate to that. I need to stare at people more.
That's an odd one.
I don't know. I don't, that's just something that happens to me. So,
it's about to get weird in 2021.
I think my resolution would be to poker resolution. You know, we talk about this all the time. There is so much stuff out there, so many things you can use to improve your game, and your life, I guess. But you know, taking the time to read some of the content or listen to some of the podcasts or go to one of the coaching sites and basically just study the game off the table, now is a good time to do that because, you know, not everybody's able to go play poker. A lot of places around the country are still closed. You know, so take this as an opportunity if you're not spending a lot of time at the table to continue to study the game. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to study a little bit more poker since I don't have as much opportunity as normal to actually play.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, and that's what a lot of people's responses have been, to be honest with you, as far as what their New Year's resolution is. So pertaining to poker, 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. If you have a resolution, a poker resolution, I want to know what it is. It seems like predominantly what most people say is they're kind of looking, saying they're surprised because you have one of two people, right? You either have the people who have been playing poker long enough through the poker boom that knew what online poker was. So they were used to online and then adjusted to playing live, or conversely, they were used to playing live and adjusted to knowing how to play online. Once Black Friday came, it kind of isolated people a little bit back into two categories. You either have experience playing online or you don't. Right. And so, and I think that there's been so much time that has elapsed since Black Friday, which was in what, 2000?
It's been almost 10 years. So there's lots of poker players that really don't have any online experience.
Absolutely. Especially consider the young ones. Like, take these guys that are 21 years old. 10 years ago, they didn't know what poker was. They weren't playing poker. Like, that wasn't a thing, right? Even these kids that are young, like 25 and even 30, you know, 10 years ago, they might not. 25 years ago, they would have been 15. At 30, they would have been 20. Like, they still might not have hardly any experience or zero experience playing online. So making that transition and that shift again has got to be a little bit difficult. And I see a lot of people talking about how they had to really kind of swallow their pride and go from playing live, where they were playing 25-50, no limit hold'em, down to playing like 2-5, because their bankrolls couldn't support playing that way online, because they're trying to multi-table. The games are faster. Sure. So, right, the number of hands that are being played, like, it's just everything is increased when you're playing that way. And so it's interesting to hear people say, I had to take a step back. And so my goal this year is to try to creep back up a little bit to get back to where I was playing. So it's interesting to hear that a pandemic kind of knocked them down into a completely different level that they're not used to playing. And their resolution is to climb back to where they were this time last year.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Good, I mean, I think it's a good resolution. And then again, like, studying and learning about solvers and things like that for people that don't play online or have limited to no experience playing online. They have to figure out how to adjust, right? Because when you're playing cash, you make notes, or when you're playing live, you make notes and you do certain things.
Right.
When you're online, there's so much more that's available, right? Because you have a computer that's tracking things. And so learning how to use those solvers. So I think those are the two biggest ones, is climbing back to where you were.
So much
and
good
learning.
Content out there. You know, you can, you know, guys like Bart Hansen with the Crush Live Poker stuff, and Jonathan Little, who we talk about a lot, has so much good content. And it's not expensive. So I don't know. I think I'm going to take advantage of it, the time, and do a little more studying.
So, you know, here's something else that I think is interesting is, you know, I've heard people talk about, since they've gone back and started playing poker, where people are wearing masks and things are happening. They say, you know, I used to put a lot of thought and foresight into being able to read somebody's face. Right. And this is something that's been taken away. And so some of the things that I see, many of them that have been posted, are things like, don't take tells, like, stop looking into tells so much, like, find other means to what you're looking for, and or for information, right? And extrapolating that information without looking at somebody and getting a tell. It's basically like playing poker with your eyes closed, which effectively is exactly the same as if you're playing online.
Right.
If you thought about the only time your eyes were open were to look at your cards, and they were closed the rest of the time if you were in a live setting, it'd be just like playing online because you can't see anybody.
Yeah, but I still think there's lots of tells. Even though we're wearing masks, there's a ton of live tells, which is still why I prefer to play in a live setting, because personally, I'm a much better player live than I am online.
Yes, but if you're playing live and you start to think about removing that piece of the equation and finding other ways to extract information, it's going to benefit you and work better when you are in an online setting, because that piece is no longer available. So you're finding, you know, looking into other things a little bit more deeply, whether that's betting patterns or
Right.
The amount of time it takes somebody to act on it. Like, it could be a number of things, right? Like, all sorts of stuff. Bet sizing, so forth and so on. So, yeah, so all those things are really great. And we're just going to kind of keep looking to that into the new year. My New Year's resolutions for poker, I think, are what I'm going to try to do is play fewer tournaments and play more cash. That's my resolution.
I like that. That's a good one.
I'm going to play fewer tournaments and more cash. In fact, I will probably play little to no tournaments this year and try to just stick with playing cash. Just, I think, because based on, like, the nature of the way things are, seeing the World Series of Poker and the stuff that they had to mitigate through, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you just never.
Yeah, you just never know. And I feel like I would rather be in a place of, and for me, I get wrapped up in thinking about that. So I don't want to be thinking about that while I'm playing. I don't want to be like, oh gosh, am I going to, you know, how am I going to feel tomorrow? Or like,
right.
Am I going to have chips? I just want it to be like, oh, you know, I'm uncomfortable. I'm ready to go now. Or I'm happy. I've won enough. I'm ready to walk out. And so that's
going to be my resolution. You know, the biggest benefit about playing live cash is that, you know, you come and go as you please. So if you feel comfortable and you're having a good time, you stay.
Yeah.
If you're not, you leave. Come back the next day.
I love it.
That's a good one. I like
it.
And
it's a good one for this world today.
It is.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we got plenty more poker to talk about. And plus, don't forget, we got that 1010XL main event seat that we are going to give away here in the next half of the show. $110 seat. The tournament is next Wednesday. It will be at 6 o'clock p.m. Frank Frangie and crew will have their show live over at Best Bet Jacksonville. That's just 201 Monument Road, just off of Atlantic and Monument. And you can listen to their show, have some sushi. It's easy for me to say today.
Yeah.
Let me start that over. Listen to their show, have some sushi, play some poker with us. The tournament starts at 6 o'clock p.m. So again, $110 value. We're going to give it away when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin running the stream, and Country in the booth. So we've been talking about New Year's resolutions as far as poker is concerned, things that we can do, and just kind of what the overall view looks like coming into 2021 through the eyes of the poker world, right? And that looks like a Winter Open happening here in Jacksonville. So you guys have a nice tournament series coming up. Starts January 21st, runs through the 31st. Wonderful series. BestBetJacks.com has all the information. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show kind of continues on. But other tournaments are having series, right? Didn't I see WPT Deep Stacks is hosting a series at the Venetian later this year?
Yeah.
WPT?
MSPT did one at the Venetian already. I know the Venetian is having some series. Down south, they're having a series.
Basically, it just means that poker's starting to creep back
it's
in.
It's starting to slowly
climb back, and we're getting comfortable being able to host and run these events and seeing the tried events that World Series made, like the efforts and the failures that they made and the mistakes that they made. I think you guys are really going to learn from, which is nice. You don't have the online aspect that World Series had to deal with, but nonetheless, I feel like at least if somebody can't attend a tournament, it gives you kind of a layout and a grid and an idea of what to do in multi-day tournament situations.
Right. And we are going to have our first multi-day event, which, you know, it starts on the 21st.
So Boss Man, I know as everybody's looked at World Series of Poker and people, I know our listeners that are tournament players and are interested in wanting to know what the COVID policies, if any, are in place for that in multi-day tournaments. Like, what does it look like if you bag chips? What happens to your chips if you can't come or if you're unable to play due to, you know, coronavirus?
That's a really good question.
That is a good question. And the answer is going to be, I would say everything is a little bit situational and fluid. But for the most part, if you can't make day two, your chips will be blinded off. Now, if you are ejected from the tournament for some reason, you're disqualified, your chips get picked up and come out of play. But if you just call up and say, hey, I tested positive, I can't come in, we're going to blind your chips off till till they're gone.
Okay.
Obviously, we're not going to be able to, you know, it's a risk we take every day, all of us, right? Sure. We know if we start something and then something happens, you get contact traced and have to go home or whatever, everybody has the same risk. So that's just the risk you take before you show up. So it's not like we're going to get a refund if you were contact traced and told to stay home, or if you test positive the night after you played. Please don't come in if you're sick or if you feel sick.
Of course. Do you guys have any tournaments that are more than 2 days? Longer than 2 days?
No. We have the only tournaments we have are 2 days of play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have our opening event has 3 day ones.
Right, but there's only two. It's a 2 day tournament, effectively.
Right.
Day one, day two, you play it out. It's over. There's right, no which, day one, day two, day three.
No.
That's good. Even I think that's great. That's going to be easier to manage those types of problems for sure.
Sure, and we do that. I mean, that's done on purpose, right? We don't want to have a long series. We don't want people to get into a situation where they can't come back and finish out the tournament, because that would be a bummer, you know?
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's give the seat away first. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you guys – I got a trivia question. And this is going to be the trivia question, because I'm going to launch from this trivia question into what we're going to talk about next. So 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. Give us a call. I got a trivia question for you. And that's going to be good for a $110 seat into next week's 1010XL main event tournament, which will be live at Best Bet Jacksonville. Starts at 6 o'clock p.m. Registration will be open for the first 30
minutes. Till about 8:15, 8:10.
Till about 8:10 through the break, 8:10, 8:15-ish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're not able to get there right at 6 o'clock, no worries. You can show up all the way until 8:10. And if you win a seat and you're registered now, then you can show up until your chips are completely blinded off, as we were just speaking. So 641-1010 is the phone number, and we'll take the trivia question here in just a second. So, you know, as we've kind of found ourselves back into this place where we are blending online poker and live poker with the World Series of Poker. They have shown that kind of being the case. And we've talked about how people have kind of had to step back, because when you're playing live poker, the poker game runs slower, number one. You're playing in one game only, not multiple games. And in your variances, you can control much easier when you're playing in a live setting versus online. So people have stepped back, and we've talked about that being one of the things. So what should you look like and expect for a return when you do step back and have to now re-ladder up? And if you've stepped back and you've started playing at a lower stake, when you go and sit back in a live table, does that mean that you should jump back into what you were playing before? Or should you stay at the stake that you've been playing online?
I mean, I don't think you should just come right back to whatever you were playing before. I think if you haven't played in a while, you should take it slow and get your feet wet and get back into your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to sit out. Don't just jump into a big game your first time after months of not playing. You know, start out slow, get back into the groove, and make sure you're comfortable before you jump back up.
All right, I agree with that. All right, so let's talk to James. James is our first caller. Hey, James, how's it going?
Pretty good. How y'all doing?
Good. Thank you. Happy New Year, James.
Happy New Year to y'all.
Thank you. All right, are you ready for a 1010XL main event seat? You ready to play with us next Wednesday?
I'm definitely ready.
All right, here is my question. What is the full date, month, day, and year of the date that was dubbed Black Friday in the poker world?
Oh, wow. Month, date, and year.
Yep, Black Friday in the poker world. Now, again, I think that this is important, because we're kind of back to that online and live play.
Well, I know we mentioned the year, but I don't know the month and the.
I think.
All right, James, we got 5 seconds.
It was 2000.
Take a guess.
April 15, 2011.
That's it, James.
Oh, nice one, James. I'm not going to lie. In my mind, I had April, but I had the 14th.
I thought it was March. I would have lost.
You would have lost that one?
For sure.
Yeah. I had April 14th, so I feel pretty good that I was within a day. Good job, James.
Nice job, James.
A little bit of run good.
Yeah, that is a little bit of good risk. Hopefully you can carry that over into your tournament play next week. You'll probably knock out a bounty. But, hey, James, to be fair, if it's me, James, that's it. You're out of there. We're going to DQ you. But hopefully you knock out a bounty, get $110, and, you know, hopefully we'll have you on the following week to tell us about your victorious run through the jungle at Best Bet. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
All right, see you next Wednesday.
So, yeah, so again, like 2011, March 15th, 2011, right? That's how long it's been since playing online poker has been legal. 10 years.
That's crazy.
Thinking about now going and moving up. So now we drop down. Like, so you get these guys that were used to playing, like, you know, 50 cent and a dollar. And then they jump into the poker world. That's not even an option. So they play live. And what do they decide they're going to play, right? Like, that's always what I wonder. Like, how do you decide? Like, maybe you're playing, like,
right,
like $2, $5 poker, right? Like, whatever it looks like, or 3-6 or something small.
Well, you know, as we've said in the past, the good thing about online poker is it is a good stepping ground where you can start out at extremely low stakes to get comfortable with the game and kind of learn and educate yourself on how to play before you jump into a 2-2 game or a 2-5 game or something like that where it's more money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can multi-table. So you can generate a nice win rate at the small stakes by multi-tabling.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
If you're playing
right.
25, 50 set, and you can play across four tables and buy in for what you would buy into a 2-2 game.
That's
so
true.
Let's just say you're multi-tabling and you're playing five tables. Do you just effectively multiply whatever the blind size is that you're playing times five and effectively play that when you play live again?
No. I don't think so at all because, you know, your variance when you're multi-tabling is going to be lower because, you know, you're going to win here, lose here, win here, lose there where
yeah, that's true.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can play a little bit higher live definitely than you can online, but you can't just multiply – if you're playing 50 cent and a dollar on
right.
five tables, it doesn't mean that you should just jump into a 2-5 game.
So what do you think is a good range or a good scale? Because I think that that's important, right, for somebody. And this even goes to, like, maybe we have people out there that come in and it's their first time playing poker ever, right? We know you can start playing legally here in Florida at the age of 18. So you
yeah.
have some people that are like, they turn 18 and they pique an interest, or maybe they've been playing poker at home for a while and they say, all right, I had to come in and figure out what I'm going to do. I've been playing at home online for fun, and I've been managing this bankroll in this game.
Sure.
And whether it's real money or fake money, it's irrelevant. They're managing. They're beating the game. This is what's happening.
Right.
How do they know when they come into the card room which game they should sit in, right?
That's a good question. And the answer is, I guess, I don't know. It's whatever your comfort level is based on your actual bankroll.
So, yeah. Like, years ago, I don't know if it's still applicable, but years ago I remember reading a stat that said it was somewhere in the range of, like, whatever stake you're beating online, like, multiply that times 10, would be
yeah.
your blind level that you would be comfortable at live. So, like, if you're beating 1 cent, 2 cent, you know, you'd be playing, like, 1-2. If you're beating, you know, quarter, 25, you know, 10 cent, 25 cent, you'd be more comfortable around, like, you know, 10 cent, 20. That seems a little high. I think you could probably cut that in half.
Yeah,
I think that
like,
seems
I
high.
Wonder,
so,
yeah.
so if you're playing
well,
online.
Games are going to be a lot softer, and you're not going to have the variance as well.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to see as many
right,
hands.
But what if you're multi-tabling, right? Because if you're multi-tabling, that's what I'm saying. Like, does it change that? So, like, let's just say if you play one table at a time and you go in 10 times. But if you're multi-tabling, does that change that at all?
So you're saying if you're playing 50 cent and a dollar, you should be comfortable playing 5-10.
The skill level would be, like, quantifiable.
Right.
Huh. Was what the stat was.
That's what
was
the stat
leading,
said. Yeah. I
like
remember we talked about this when poker kind of shut down and everybody went to playing online and we talked about
and,
it.
And you know, I
think it's pretty accurate.
Does seem to be fairly accurate. And I will say this, that in the past, whenever I have played online, mm-hmm. I play pretty small. Mostly
games
because
are tough. Like the games, like you think that you could just buy in for $200 and get in a, you know, like a $1, $2 game, but the games are tough.
The games are.
I mean, when you sit in a 2-5 cash game and you're playing online, it plays huge. I mean, it's nothing. Like, would you ever see somebody blow $7,000 in a 2-5 cash game playing in your room in one night?
I mean, it's happened.
Like, yeah,
it's,
but
yeah,
it's
I mean, but
like,
when
not very often.
Yeah, not very often.
Yeah, I mean, do you see somebody blowing $3,000 like on the reg? Like in every game, every night, like Nah, you don't see that. That's a lot.
No, that's a lot.
Like that's a lot. Great. I feel like to be happening every day or every night, it's a lot. So, yeah, I think that breaking that down is probably
pretty accurate, I guess.
Poker, yeah. SNCO, and Twitch, he agrees. He says that 50 NL online, which is a $50 buy-in game, like 25 cent, 50 cent is really hard, whereas 500 live is, you know, like a 2-5 game is pretty soft.
Yeah, and again, it's because of comparable. What you're talking about, right? Like you're taking and you're saying people are stepping down from playing, you know, 2-5 or 10 and a quarter, and they're stepping down substantially, right. Which means that, yeah, that the level of play is going to be higher. You know, I wonder if
you know, somebody
easier.
Else said something interesting on Twitch. It says if you're multi-tabling, your win rate will slightly decrease the more tables you play.
Because of
the variance. You know, if you're playing, making $5 an hour playing on four tables, you might only make $3 an hour if you playing on six tables, something like that.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Per table.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it would change, like how it would affect your bankroll. Like, let's say you're a limit and a no limit player. Is it better to shift to a limit game when you're playing online? Is it easier and better to control your bankroll if you're playing limit? Like, is that maybe a better direction?
No, I mean, I think it's just a different game.
Right, but if you play both and you're good at both, is it easier to manage your bankroll if you're shifting to online? Like, can you play a higher game, have the ability to win more money, and be playing a softer field? Because predominantly all of the chalk is going to be playing no limit. So the people who are playing limit are going to be, the field's just naturally going to be softer, right? Or wrong?
I don't know.
I think it's such a niche game now by today's standards. It's really hard to find a bigger limit game online that's not a mixed game.
Okay.
It's tough, you can find big mixed game. Games sure. still online, but it's really hard to find a big limit game online.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is play live.
The best thing you do is head to Best Bet Jacks and play there because they are open. Speaking of which, we have more to talk about their tournament that's coming up here and plenty of promotions. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Ali McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin and Country wrapping up the program. All right, guys, lots of stuff going on. As we've talked about, the Winter Open is hot on our heels. Plenty of events starting January 21st through the 31st. You guys have satellites going on. Remember, this series is in Jacksonville and Jacksonville only, so that's where you'll need to be if you plan on playing this series of tournaments. There will be satellites that are leading into the main event. Boss Man, tell them a little bit about what the series looks like so they can – the smallest buy-in is around –
The smallest buy-in in the series is $160.
Okay, main event?
The main event is $2,000.
Okay, is there a guarantee on any of these tournaments?
There are no guarantees, but I anticipate large prize pools.
Okay. I try to remind people that when you think about like a guarantee, we talk about guarantees, but the guarantees here in Jacksonville, we double, we triple, we quadruple. We're not ever in a situation where we're like, oh, we're scrambling to hit the guarantee. So basically when we say a guarantee, it means we know that it's going to make this much. So it's like Boss Man is going to tell you he thinks that the prize pool is going to be X, and then he's going to be real close to knowing what that's going to be. So look forward to that $2,000 main event. Of course, there are lots of tournaments that are going on at both properties. And don't forget, you guys, Orange Park is a fantastic property. And while they don't have live racing going on right now, there's still tons and tons of simulcast racing that's going on. You guys can go there. You can continue to make bets on tracks that are around the country. In fact,
correct.
Whether that be Greyhounds, whether that be Thoroughbreds, Highlight, anything like that. So look for that. Make sure you head to Orange Park for that. And then, of course, this weekend, Friday, they have $1,000 high hands from 2 p.m. until 12 a.m. every 60 minutes. That's at Jacksonville or Orange Park. So you can be at either location. So put that on your calendar. You can get all this information at bestbetjacks.com. They will have all of your tournament information. They will have structures, They will have calendars. Check out the new website also,
you
guys.
Can we talk about how sweet the new website looks?
The new website is spectacular.
Yeah, new website is up. It's awesome.
It's super mobile friendly.
We got a brand new logo. Everything is coming together here in 2021.
That's right. It's going to be a big year in the poker.
That means we got lots of merchandise to give away. We need to get the right logo on, you guys. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. But don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up next for Jesse the Boss, Dustin, and Country. I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.